Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
That one hit. Guys, we just have to hit. Listen, this is the Netflix documentary Cheer, and as long as we hit, we are going to pull a zero, you guys, and we will come out state champions, national champions once again. That's what we do. We got to hit every time, okay?
You're the only person that I haven't watched it. James, have you watched the Cheer docuseries?
No, it'd be weird if I had.
No, it wouldn't. It's the same people who made Last Chance U. It's like, it's really good.
I also haven't seen that. But that's okay. I mean, I know it's good. I just, look, I get your enthusiasm. I see where you're going with it, and I'm there with it. I just can't fully relate to it because I haven't seen it.
I do like to go to the local high school and watch the cheerleaders.
I won't watch the documentary because I have my own, circuit that I run. You know what I'm saying?
Well, my sister was a cheerleader, my older sister, when we were kids. So I watched a lot of cheering competitions on TV.
I'm sorry. See,
yeah. Are you like forced? Did you feel forced or were you just like, yeah, it's pretty good?
I felt forced. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, I guess I'm holding back that, you know, every once in a while I like dust it out. Yeah. Andrea's like, here we fucking go. I am a state champion cheerleader.
I wear those colors proud, bitch.
I know.
I'm not judging. Like,
When I go home to visit my parents in Rochester, Michigan, do I dust off the old varsity jacket with the medals on it and do a victory lap around the TJ Maxx? I sure do. They're like, BVP's back in town.
Watch out. Watch out. Hold on to, she's going to want a pyramid any second now, guys.
It's like Faulkner used to dress up in his granddaddy's like war costumes and just sit around the town square and they were like, that weirdo William Faulkner again.
He's back. You guys, welcome to Sidework Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Wallace. Hello.
Hello, Andrea. I'm your host, Brooke Van Poplin. And joining us again today, it's been a minute, but we're so happy to.
A few.
I know. It's like been 2 years, but we're happy to have him back again on the pod. Please welcome James Fritz, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, James.
Hi. How's it going? What's been going on over the last 2 years?
Oh, man. I don't know. All I know is belated happy holidays. We were all supposed to spend Christmas Eve together, but, you know.
Yeah. No, we finally won the war on Christmas.
We should. Totally.
I thought it would be more fun.
I know. I was hoping it would be a battle of like how much could I drink with my friends. Instead, it was a battle of just farting on a couch. You know what I mean? And I won that battle. I'm just going to say. The couch lost and I won.
The couch lost. You won. I'm in a place too where I think I was so like in such a dark space that I told you all to watch Outlander and now I'm watching more of it and it's not a great show. So
I was like, just wait, you're going to be very disappointed. It's okay. The first season, like a lot of shows are like pretty great. Mm-hmm. And then they're just like, keep making more of this. And then people are like, okay, are you sure? And then, you know,
and you got to be careful with those recs nowadays because that's all we have. Is TV. You make a bad recommendation to someone.
I know.
It's criminal these days.
Here's a little bit of fun, though, Brooke.
Yeah.
The woman who sings the theme song to Outlander is a client at my work. I'm not going to name her name and you know, or anything like
well,
that.
There's no way we could look that up.
Nope. I mean, I'm legally not going to say it right now, but I just thought it was a very fun little, I was like, oh, that's fun. And in the old wheelhouse of what our chat on the show is about lately. If you didn't know, Brooke and I have, you know, dubbed, if you don't know about Outlander, James, it's a little bit of a lady wank show, you know,
a lady, yeah. What?
Wank. A lady wank.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. way too, like, as a...
A gal fap, if you will.
A gal fap. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. And it really held up where I was trying to justify. I'm like, these storylines are good, and I am definitely not in it for the sex. This was my version of, like, I read Playboy for the articles, but a TV show. And and now it's really fallen apart in season two, and I'm like, wow, That was
so. This
storyline's so bad, I can't even jerk off.
Is like, it a historical? That's bad.
And I tell you right now, you know, there's 5 seasons total currently. So buckle up, Buttercup.
Is it a historical drama?
It's historical.
It's about a woman
from the 40s who goes back in time to
1742
in Scotland. And she's like a nurse and she's a fucking woman and she knows what's up.
Okay.
And then she says it out loud and gets boned a lot by a hot Scottish dude.
Oh, my God.
As my friend and friend of the show, Henry Zabrowski, said, he's like, this bitch fell through some rocks and landed in the bone zone. Which is, she time traveled to the bone zone. Fucking was better in the 1700s. Hygiene was bad. Fucking was better.
Sure. There's a lot of retiring.
I mean, my 20s, you could say the same thing about me in my 20s, quite honestly. You know what I mean? I'm much better at cleaning now, and I don't get laid half as much. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And I'm not in the zone, you know?
Yeah,
anyway,
it's a lot harder.
We have a beautiful bone zone love making relationship, Brian.
Yeah.
But not like before he was around.
Wow. Well, it's a lot harder to fuck on the swooning couch.
Yeah.
That's what I'm imagining on this show. A lot of.
Yeah. She doesn't
really do that because she's like, I'm a fucking nurse from the future, bitch. I don't fucking swoon and faint. Get over it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, so yeah. It's like girl boss in time. Gotcha.
Yeah. That's actually,
she's a time traveling girl boss.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's what we call the old Outlander catch up. Brian, cue some Scottish music. Let's just jump into some headlines, you know? Let's just hit the first one, guys. Okay, did anybody hear about this back when it first happened? So here's the headline from the Washington Post. So the Cracker Barrel, did you get sent the maybe?
Oh, I didn't share a document with James. He's just flying blind. Just hang out with him.
Just listen.
I was saying you were doing like a Lena, like,
No. Headlines. You guys see this? Headlines. Do you know that there's a barber in Burbank called Headlines? And every time we go past it, we're like, Headlines. So Cracker Barrel served a cleaning agent to a customer. It was back in 2014.
AKA Cronin, known as their new line of drinks they just debuted. Hello.
So, yeah. So William Cronin had just finished his lunch at a Cracker Barrel in Tennessee in April in 2014 when his waitress asked if she could refill his water glass one more time. When she returned, the Alabama native, he was from Alabama but dining in Tennessee, took 2 or 3 big swigs and then all of a sudden felt a burning sensation in his mouth and his esophagus and struggled to breathe. And then he realized this isn't fucking water. He had been served the chemical Ecosan, a cleaning agent used in the kitchen to wash dishes. And since then, he's had years of gastrointestinal issues.
Well, that would have happened anyway.
Right. Yeah, I know. Was it the, I know. So 8 years later, Cocker Barrel has been ordered by a jury to pay him more than $9.3 million for serving him this glass of cleaning chemical. Yeah. And so $4.3 million for compensatory damages and $5 million in punitive damages for the incident. And they're also, but they're saying that Tennessee laws limit non-economic damages to $750,000. So he might not even get all of it. But fucking crazy. And did it have, you know, and they're saying Cracker Barrel like didn't treat this guy very well at all, like period, when it happened. I think,
do you know where in Tennessee this was? I want to know if it's the one.
I don't know exactly in Tennessee. No,
if it's Clarksville, then we dodged a bullet, because that was my mom's favorite spot whenever I would visit.
He went for a short trip over the Tennessee border from his work in Bridgeport, Alabama, to the Cracker Barrel about 30 miles west of Chattanooga.
Okay.
So that's where it happened.
But here's where it's, you know, there is some violations occurring, like the fact that there was just unmarked liquid in a jug, potentially just hanging out on, you know, on a bar. Yeah. And or wherever she was going to, you know, refill the water. First of all, you know, they did not say this was like an intentional crime, but you're also like, when you refill someone's water, when do you ever reach for like an unmarked jug? Which makes it seem a little shady. But it's also illegal to keep any sort of cleaning liquid in anything that isn't clearly marked that it is actually a cleaning liquid, which is really crazy. Mm-hmm. And basically, like, the thing that's coming down across all the Cracker Barrels and other restaurants in general is like, it's a wake up call to provide better training to really take all of this chemical handling, like, you know, more seriously. But I mean, the guy like burned his esophagus and like has breathing problems. This is 7 years later that they're, you know, they finally got the court case taken care of. And again, it's, I don't know. I don't like, it's one of those things where like, sure, accidents can happen, but like, what the fuck is like weird, you know, a concentrate of dishwashing, you know, chemical doing just sitting out with the food. Like, that's just gross.
It's crazy. How do you take
three swigs?
I mean, maybe he was like, if he was like, you know what I mean? When someone's like, sure, I'll take that extra glass of water, and you're about to leave and you like chug your water before you leave. Ugh. Like, I think that's what happened. He chugged it down like Heather's style. You know, when she just chugs the glass and then she's like, corn nuts. You know, I feel like that's what happened. And it makes sense, like everything would go down. But yeah, I don't think people are fucking intentionally doing this shit. Like, we all know, like, the repercussions. I don't think this was like gag day when the server was like, hey, do you want one more refill? Like, winking to her, like, you know, coworkers on that water.
Because if he was like a regular, I would maybe think maybe foul play. Like, but this wasn't even his home. This wasn't in his hometown Cracker Barrel.
It's so random to want to pull something on a like, you know, that's like true sociopath style when you're like, we'll just spin the wheel and see who gets the wrath of my you know. I mean, we had a story like this where, I mean, this happens a lot in restaurants in general, especially if you got a sloppy operation going on. There was a restaurant that was in it was called in the DC area called Club Heaven, where a customer would like to drink basically what was a Long Island iced tea called a lit. It was lit, you know what I'm saying? And so he knew what that tasted like, loved to order his lit, but someone accidentally grabbed for what was Foam Bright condenser coil cleaner, which is used for the heating and cooling system behind the bar. Poured it into the Long Island because it's bright yellow. They call it the yellow death. And they thought it was fucking, you know, sour mix. And you're just sitting here going like, God, I think this must happen so much more than we realize. But the only thing that happened to this place is they did get a fine because they didn't write up an incident report. They had to pay a hefty fee, and they were they had their liquor license suspended for 90 days, which is like, I'm sorry, when you fucking poison someone like that, like, yes, maybe it's
when you actually try and send someone to Club Heaven at Club Heaven, like, that's, I mean, accident or not, fuck.
I know, like, you're, I mean, like, again, I don't mean to be like,
having these headlines where we're like wishing upon, you know, wishing closed downs and fines upon restaurants after all the hard time they've had. But like, what the fuck is going on at your place if like you don't know that you're pouring someone a glass of cleaning agent? Like,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, I know. You should totally know where like everything is behind the bar. And it's like, I know we all like have sat very impatiently through like all the hazardous material training and have to sign off on it. But there is definitely a reason why all that shit is labeled and needs to stay away from food and needs, you know, but
you need the skull and crossbones.
Yeah.
Put that shit on there, you know. You don't even need words.
I mean, we are from an era, though, where like I do feel really comfortable being like sitting in a bar and being in the vicinity of sort of a rag that smells like bleach and mildew, yeah. You know, the dirty bar rag smell. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
mm-hmm. smells like home.
And beer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I know that smell. But anyway, yeah, I just thought this was like a wowzers kind of an article that we should chat about.
Poison.
But jumping into the next story we have today, this one's pretty fun. So bartender's tip leads to arrest in Key West buoy burning. Yeah, just lighting buoys on fire that are floating in the water. All right. So basically, a tourist made a big impression in Key West. He was at this bar on New Year's Eve. He did not tip. He did not tip his bartender. And when he was done, he went and set fire to this big Christmas tree on a buoy. The arson caused more than $5,000 in damage to a city's landmark buoy. And they were kind of like, who is it? Who could it be? And they posted his photo. And the only reason is because a bartender, Cameron Brody, watched the video and recognized a 21-year-old man who had stiffed him that night.
Over and over again. It wasn't just one trip to the bar. He came up several times and didn't tip.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he was like, oh, no, that's that asshole.
Oh, that's the dream.
Yeah.
That's the dream, getting to finger a non-tipper in a crime.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The bar's general manager turned the recordings from tons of cameras, right, that watch over the bar each night and match credit card receipts to timestamp videos. And they said, oh, we could follow him the whole time in and out of the bar. We could see them getting rejected from all the girls they were trying to hit on.
That was like a smooth extra detail. They're like, well, first the perp started moving west and then once again was rejected by females. Like they just keep adding that end.
See what happens, ladies?
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, this was the, you know, like this is the big famous like Key West buoy that's just like, this is 90 miles from Cuba. It was that. I feel like I know that buoy, guys.
You know that buoy?
I do. What's up? Hey, boy. I'm trying to do the, you know, you get what I'm trying to do, right?
Yeah.
You know, fuck that guy. Fuck them. Good. I'm glad.
See, okay. Well, I think the big takeaway from this story is you need to, if you're a non-tipping motherfucker, you need to be changing your appearance constantly because I think you don't understand that when you're in the service industry, we are like heat-seeking missiles for the good tipper. We know exactly what like the big tippers, you know, the above and beyond tippers. We know what they look like immediately. We remember their faces. And the non-tippers, you both occupy the same amount of space in our brain.
Right.
Because, you know, if you're just a regular tipper, hey, we're thankful for you. You're there. Whatever. Sorry. Right. We know what these people look like who do big tipping or no tipping. And so that's what you need to know is you are marked the minute you walk away. And
if
you
want
to
commit
erased.
A crime, you want that middle ground. Mm-hmm. If you're a criminal.
Exactly. I say if you want to get away with it, 20%, baby.
I love that. I love that. All right. Well, Brooke, should we like move from headlines into some server?
We got to unpack this. James is really going to like this. I think it is time for some server
submitted
stories.
We have two today. All right, I'm going to do the first story. It starts with multigrain Mike. All right, He was an early morning Starbucks regular, the most miss him in a crowd type of business dude, to the extent that the only thing I remember about him is the surprises he left us in the bathroom. Oh, not the way you think, though. In fact, the opposite. All right. He would come in and order coffee and a multigrain bagel to be heated up and then disappear into one of the bathrooms for 20 to 40 minutes at a time. Lucky for Mike, which wasn't his actual name, if I remember correctly, he would time these visits so we'd be all busy and miss the fact that one of the bathrooms was out of commission in chaos in the morning rush. Okay. All right. All right. His bagel and drink would be cold by the time he got out, which then he would then complain about. And then depending on who was behind the bar, he might get them all replaced or just have the bagel reheated. What the what? Okay. Wow. But while Multigrain Mike is his namesake, it's not why he was remembered. So what was Mike getting up to in the single person bathroom? Beats me. I just know that we'd go in after him in all the corners around the room, the door gap, the drain in the center of the floor, and the sink would be stopped up with wet napkins and there would be water all over the place. Oh. Was he taking you a bath, cleaning up after an affair, getting naked and sliding around on the wet floor? Who knows? But it was way less sucky to clean up water than other bathroom disasters. So cheers to him. Oh, thanks you guys so much for the yeah.
It's so bleak that this is like it's, you know, this is not bad.
It was so bad. Look at the shit and piss. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for the chicken soup, for the soul level warmth, laughs, and gratitude that you inspire me and so many other listeners with. Oh my God, Godspeed and good tips, Texas X barista.
Okay.
Yeah, this is fucking okay.
This is
yeah.
This needs to be on the next season of Unsolved Mysteries. This is worse than a turd. You know what I'm saying? Because you understand why. I mean, I don't understand people who do weird things with turds, but if someone has an oopsie, usually, you know, we've talked about all the gross ways or whatever, but someone is making a bath.
Yeah.
Do you think that's what it is?
But they need like,
I know you got a new catchphrase on your hands. Worse than a turd.
Worse than a turd.
This is worse than a turd.
But like, okay, but like, so he was a run-of-the-mill businessman, right?
That's the strange part, yeah.
So, and then he stopped it up like a Roman bath.
Right. So
to have it was a 40-minute ritual.
Right. Right.
And so he would come in during the rush, which I also think must be stressful because people are probably knocking a lot while you're in there.
Right.
I'm
occupied. Someone in here.
Splash. Splash.
It's all the water.
Thanks.
I have to always clarify things.
No, that was great. Like no, you create a world with your sounds. Thanks. You don't have
thank
to.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. It made me think of like, oh my God.
Patrick Bateman. What can I think?
No, what can I think of like the Ted Danson, Leslie Nielsen, Creep Show, you know, and Creep Show when anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But to know exactly where to plug things up too is like a whole nother situation to be like, I need the water to get like this high. Is this fetishy? Like what, you know, what kind of OCD is happening with Multigrain Mike to a deep, deep degree.
Right.
And why is he ordering before?
To give the air of normalcy. I think also because we realize if we are a paying,
I'm just a normal dude.
If we're
I'll be back tomorrow doing the same normal thing.
Okay. Here when you are a paying customer who then goes to use the bathroom, the heat is off of you. Because in a lot of Starbucks and a lot of places, the bathrooms, I told the person who wrote in, I was just like, there could be an entire book written on what happens in Starbucks bathrooms. Yeah. They are ground zero for fuckery. I mean, it's anything from, you know, people will lock themselves in and overdose on drugs. Like that's what a lot of Starbucks bathrooms.
And like in LA, there's such a scarcity of bathrooms as someone who has done delivery jobs out here.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which we will get into. And,
you know, and so like it's part of the ramp up too to whatever, you know, maybe it is just a bird bath, a really crazy bird bath he's given himself. But the fact that he's like, I'm a paying customer and people who make transactions are allowed to use your bathroom. I feel like that is part of the protocol so that they could never call him out for not buying anything. And but then he's like, yeah, well, once I buy something, it's open season on the bathroom.
Yeah, it's my bathroom.
It's my.
I bought my this whole bathroom. Thing
is like, what, like, what's his appearance after he's like coming out of the bathroom? Like, is his hair wet and slicked back? Is he like, is the appearance that he has just bathed? Like, has
right? Like,
that
would he go,
happening?
Would he go to the gym? But he's a never nude, so he didn't like to clean up there or something, and then had to come to Starbucks and have privacy.
Well, coming in and out in the same business clothes, right?
Right.
Right.
So is he just like hanging them near the ceiling and then taking a little rubber ducky
probably.
Time?
There has to be like a whole fucking like rhythm down.
Okay.
So like it has to be like I go in, I open and close, I take my clothes off, and I stop up the sinks, I turn on the water. I don't know.
We know we've gotten that far because, okay, so some of the bathrooms will have a hook on the door. Usually they don't. And so when like the door stop, basically like the big hinge on the door above, that is my go-to. I will jump up and hook my purse up there when I'm in dirty public restrooms because I'm like, listen, if there's no hook, I'm not putting this on the floor or the sink. This is fucking crazy. So he's either like, if he's like me, right? He's jumping up, hanging his clothes up, right? But that's where the similarities end.
And that's it. And that's all we got.
And that's all we got. After that, I have a lot of questions. And I'm gonna message Texas Ex Barista to
I would like more details.
For sure.
I want to know wet he is exiting, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I know how wet I am by reading
just
the story.
Just listening to the story.
Which is not wet at all.
And then part of the game is to come out and then be a dissatisfied customer of your own making.
That's my favorite part. Yeah. He's like, I'm not going to stand for this cold fucking latte and cold bake, you know?
But you know what? To be fair, I lose track of time when I'm treating myself to a bath.
Yeah.
On the floor of a Starbucks.
Have a nice glass of wine.
Candles and a good murder mystery book.
Just fishing out like used tea bags out of the trash to put on your eyes, you know, really relax it. I mean, it makes sense to me. Oh my God. It's like a real girl. It's a real girl drink drunk dilemma. You know what I mean?
This man,
More details though. I want to solve this fucking mystery. Yeah.
I would go, you know, you guys can all have your magic mic. I want to see the movie for Multigrain Mike.
Yeah, me too now though. Yeah. But yeah, I would love if this was like an ongoing saga, please.
And
a telenovela, if you will.
And you know what? We just, if this sparks any stories, please keep them from being like intensely gross because we kind of went there for an entire episode and it gets to a point where it's like, oh my God, this is so nasty what people do in public bathrooms. Anyways, but if this sparks any stories.
Isn't that our most downloaded episode?
It is. It's our best performing episode. Let's get nasty. It's true. I take it back. You can send us whatever you want, y'all. Woo! All right, we have another submission. So howdy, ladies. Hope this little email can help quell your server-submitted story thirst for a bit. You know, we did say we were dry down there. So starts off, I never personally worked as a server, but my mother and sister have a long history of working as servers. One place in particular is where my mother still currently works for about the last 17 years. One fond memory I have of being a kid is her bringing the leftover breakfast pizza home, which I wouldn't be surprised is the reason for my childhood fat never escaping me. Amen to a breakfast pizza. Anyways, not sure if the dumbass owners would even ever listen to this pod, but for anonymity, I'll just call the place CH or House, whichever tickles your narrative fancy. But it is a banquet restaurant in Connecticut with the bad tastes like it's microwaved Italian food and cheap wine. It's also right across from a veterinary hospital and a Dunkin' Donuts. You know, the perfect ambiance for a wedding that you plan for years, but to each their own. So my mother would often take me to work with her, whether it be because she didn't have childcare or my dad was working late. They would put me to work for a few dollars and some Shirley Temples. I'd like to attribute this to some of my childhood trauma and current day continuing addiction to Shirley Temples. Doesn't a Shirley Temple sound so good right
now? I fucking love a Shirley Temple.
Yeah, with some booze in it.
Yeah, that's when they really tasted good. But okay. So my odd jobs as a 7 to 10 year old employee were helping to set up tables in a banquet hall, putting the tablecloths down, doing entire place settings and centerpieces, even plating food in the kitchen. This is so fucking illegal.
Yeah.
And here are some tidbits of stories from that time. The tables were so old and shitty that when we would roller carry them out, basically everyone on staff would get splinters. That's so gross.
Oh, God.
I know exactly the tables they're talking about.
Yeah.
Right? I helped clean out the bathrooms after a wedding reception and found a pair of ladies' underwear. Mm-hmm. Ooh, scandal. The bathrooms are always fun. Another time, there was vomit just literally everywhere, covering everything. Since I was 7, they didn't make me clean it up at that time. One time, she got in trouble for stealing a centerpiece because she liked the flowers. Yeah, right? Gotta love this kitchen. And basically, she also said, one time I was helping to plate in the kitchen, the tongs burned me, so I accidentally dropped a bunch of green beans, and then one of the owners kicked me out. I was 9. Oh. I'm like, why are you kicking?
I love how the story starts like I was never a server, but yes, you were. Like this is your yes.
You've been abused.
You are being exploited and abused.
Yeah. You're an official server.
Yes, right, exactly. So she says, I figured you know, she says, not sure if you guys ever tackle the topic of family labor working in restaurants together, because I truly feel there's something there. No matter your age, if a family member works at a restaurant, you are almost guaranteed to start working there. They should have given me my cummerbund and bow tie for free for doing as much I did for no pay. Mm-hmm. Anywho's, I hope this is some content for you. Ashley M.
Wow. Very cute. I mean, yeah, this was like, yeah, this 100% Ashley, you were a server. Actually love this story. I actually have tons of like feels. Did you guys ever have to go to work with your mom for anything when you were a kid? Did you get dragged in?
Oh, yeah. She was a school teacher. So we were like at the, and I'm every from day. A small town. So yeah, well, in grades 3 and 4. Third and fourth and fifth grade, we were in the same school. She was the guidance counselor.
So did you have to go? Did she have to be there early? Like, did you have to go in early because she had to? Or did you?
I'd take like, the bus. Right?
Okay. Got it. You're like, I'm cool. You do you. I don't need to be.
I was never a morning person. Even if I had my bathroom bath, I was not a morning person.
Even if I got my me time in the public restroom. Yeah, my dad was a cop, so you didn't really go to work with him. Well, mostly we'd do night patrol ride along. Sure. Fucking bust some perps.
All right, you're going to be decoy tonight.
Right, exactly. I'm going to put you in that short little dress, and you're going to hang out on the corner. We're going to catch some creeps.
I sometimes had to go to work. I mean, like, not during the day if I was sick, but there'd be times where, like, I'd get dropped off, and I distinctly remember, like, doing my homework in the break room at a Planned Parenthood in high school, waiting for my mom to get home work. So that was, you know.
No, I mean, like, it happens.
These are cool.
But yeah, I
would definitely stay late after school and then ride home with her. Totally. I was a really cool kid.
No, but like when you put it that way, honestly, a banquet situation versus a restaurant is the best case scenario that you could have a kid with you, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not the same as like, you know, granted, she was on the line with a fucking murderous chef with a temperament, which is the last place I'd probably put my child. But all the other parts are like, here, like lay these napkins flat and make them smooth.
Right.
Like
yeah.
Nice, safe place to put your child. But anyways, guys, thank you. Like, the server submitted stories are starting to roll in again, and we will take them over Instagram DM. Okay, you broke me down, people. You won't write me an email. I will take it in the chat. All right. But if you do want to email it to us, you can always send it to sideworkpod@gmail.com.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're going to get into today's topic. We're going to do like a little bit of a pivot with James and talk today about weed delivery. That's right. Boy. Marijuana being delivered to your house. Oh, no. We live in a day and age of abundance and fucking wowzers. I still can't believe it myself sometimes that this is available to us. But not everywhere. Even all states where it's legal to purchase marijuana in dispensaries, not every single one has delivery licenses. They have to have a specific license for that. And the ones that do are Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, Rhode Island, and Vermont. So who am I missing?
Arkansas really like Illinois doesn't in that group.
It really
is surprising. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that's the red sore thumb in the group for sure. That's a fly in the ointment.
Good on y'all.
But good on y'all. But yeah, I have to question though. I think New York is still medical only. Like, I mean, they're not getting their shit together. So maybe you can have your medical, like your prescription delivered. But yeah, like it's a whole
thing. which is still nice to be able to have, but you still, but like Illinois doesn't have it yet, which is surprising to me, you know.
No delivery.
Just no delivery yet. But probably in the near future. Who knows?
And Illinois, I think we talked about it too. Illinois is like barely a year into legalization where they're working on how you get it. Like, because Michigan was in a state of flux where it's like, it's legal, but it wasn't legal to buy it or sell it.
Yeah,
you know, for like another 2 years, it took them that long to get their economy set up. All this crazy shit. It's like, obviously you could go get it, but it would be like, here, I'd like to buy these Beanie Babies and you will give me a tin of weed gummies along with them. Yes. You know, so very, very weird. But now it's all above board. It was fun. I went weed shopping with my dad in Michigan. Oh.
Cool. How long did you deliver marijuana, James?
Oh, what was that? About 2 years, maybe?
2 years.
Yeah.
And like, I like that you, but you also delivered food, right? You Grubhubbed as well. Is that correct?
I Postmated off
you
and
post-made.
On for probably 5 years out here.
Wow. So like total, and we're and doing simultaneous like weed and Postmating at the same time?
No, when I was weed, I was just doing weed.
Okay.
When I'm weed, I'm weird, man. Okay.
Come on, man. You know, I mean, you gotta focus.
It's amazing that you can like kind of make the comparisons or that, you know, do you feel that you like graduated into like a higher echelon moving from Postmates to delivering weed?
Oh, well, it paid better and it was, it paid better. Postmates pays like shit, man. And it just got worse like every month to the point where it's like, this is quite literally not worth it. Like I'm between gas and like damage to your car. It's like I'm actually losing money at this job.
Yeah.
But no, weed was all right. I mean, it's a weird business. The owner is kind of a weirdo and it was like organic weed, which I don't even know if it was, but like, it was like kind of like, you know, it was a little overpriced. And like, so we would get, I mean, I had some cool regulars, like maybe four, but most of them were like really cheap, rich fucks.
Yeah.
Like, and that would not even tip, you know, I would do like $500 orders and people wouldn't and like this one. And then I'd Google the guy and it's like, oh, you're a DJ, you're a famous DJ. And you can't throw a fucking 20 my way on a $500 weed order.
So that's the thing. Like, you should absolutely, obviously be doing, you know, someone's like delivering a bunch of weed to your house. If you can't fucking afford to tip, like, why do, can you afford to have weed delivered
organic
to your house?
Weed.
Or your organic weed. Like, you clearly have needs and standards. Right. You're a discerning, picky motherfucker who needs their organic weed driven up to their Hollywood Hills, you know, estate.
And you will end up in the act. Like this one lady who is in the act now, because I delivered to her house maybe 50 times, maybe more than upwards of 50 times in the past, like over a year and a half period. And she tipped me never. And then I Googled her because we have your first and last name and your address. What? Again. And found out that she made Tibetan singing bowls that were infused with the music of her boyfriend. That's a real thing. And this woman would not tip me. And she was not Tibetan.
Wow.
The bulls have spoken. Thou.
And like, there's.
And like, it would be like on my phone. It would be like on my phone. Like, I'd be like, here, you can like sign with your finger. And like, you see the buttons where it says like.
That was what I was going to ask. Like, it's like, right there.
Right in my face, man. Yeah.
And
repeatedly.
Do you even have it with orders? Like, did they have to sign there? Or was it like, could they pre-order? And then there's obviously it's in your face there as well. Like any other delivery app. Like.
No, it was like usually. Yeah. Pay there or at least sign there. No, I think they could prepay too. But yeah, it's just, I could never have the gall to do that. It's so bizarre.
It's just wild. And I think once again, we are, you know, we're in a place as an evolving podcast where we really stayed really specific about, you know, bars and restaurants and like a cafe. And we have discussed what the expectation and the standard is. And as people, you know, as a podcast who has non-service industry listening folks who love learning about it and all the norms, I like to say that we've taught a lot of people that like when in doubt, fucking tip anyways, right? Yeah. This one's obvious. Okay. This is a delivery service coming to you with goods. This is equivalent to having drinks at a bar. But yet you had a bunch of delicious weed driven up to your fucking home. It was shopped for by you. You got the product. You also, I mean, I think there's a lot to talk about in this economy that all leads up to like, what is wrong with people's brains that they're not tipping you? It's a service and it's a good, and someone drove to you with it. So if this is news to anyone listening, yes, you tip your bud tender and you tip your weed delivery person. Okay. Even five, like if the order was $500 and they still threw you five, at least, I'm not saying that's good. Yeah. Anything is better than zero. Like anything that says, I acknowledge you and here's a little something.
A human brought this to me.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember I almost lost it a bunch of times, but like the time where I wanted to just, you know, do something violent was like, it was like year one in the pandemic when the fires were really bad out here and the sky was like,
brown, brutal
orange. And I drove like to Alhambra to deliver weed to a dude in that shit during the pandemic, and like a $300 order, and he didn't tip me anything. And I was just like, I literally like almost just melted into a hate pool on the ground. I was
like something you'd find on the floor of multi-grain Mike's Starbucks bathroom. Hate pool. Yeah.
It was, I'm like, if you can't tip me today, you're never going to tip anybody.
Right? Like, but it's also embarrassing because you're sitting here going, you have enough money for $300 worth of weed.
Like,
To order from out of town. This is like Los Angeles county-based company. And it was like Alhambra or further. And I'm like, did everyone else just stop selling to you out here? Because you're fucking
right. Like, you've gotten on the list, buddy.
Right, right. Do not serve.
It really is like such a fucking I smack in the face to be like, peace, fucking love, and like equality, man. Weed is like so chill. Everybody be chill. And yet you're just a piece of shit. She likes to get blazed and not do appropriate human interactions and pay people for their services and time. So that's a bummer.
Bernie was too good for us.
But what's crazy to me, though, James, is that you're still like, but this still paid more than Postmates.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Like, yeah. I mean, Postmates is straight up evil.
Yeah.
Unless they're a sponsor.
You work for like a small business. Like you were like that shop's delivery driver. You didn't work for Ease. You didn't work for a bigger company.
Right. Yeah. So I did have a set like hourly rate, and then we all pooled all of our tips together, which was kind of the only fair way to do weed delivery, I would guess. But
that's but you know, it's got to feel bad at the end of the day when you're like, I don't know what it is about me and my face, but showing up with zero tips again.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody.
One Christmas day I worked a shift and I think I put over 400 miles on the car, and I think I walked with and like over $1,000 in sales on Christmas Day. And I think I think I totaled 100 in tips. Dude.
That would be. You can't like show anybody love. Yeah, people are fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Here's, I was going to say, let's get this back on the track in the sense though, like we were hoping on that, like these are the really bad days. Clearly there were enough decent days to keep you in it for 2 years.
Well, I have very low self-esteem, you know.
Okay,
like, I don't really deserve a nice job or a life. You know that.
We do know that. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
But I think one of the interesting things, you know, was we've never full on talked about delivery workers in general, but how this can be weed delivery if it is available in your state and you are like sick to death of, you know, dropping off burrito bowls for dumb idiots who also don't tip. But then these apps do not give you a living wage. They don't give you benefits, no protection, all this stuff, that this is a really great pivot at the very least until you, you know, maybe want to figure out what's next after that. But to get out of the Grubhub hell is, and same with rideshare. A lot of rideshare drivers, because those businesses treat you like absolute garbage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even I couldn't do that to myself.
Seriously. Mm-hmm. It's so crazy. I know that your shop stayed independent, but a lot of shops have signed up to work with Ease. And Ease, the company itself, I mean, it is kind of amazing to hear they provide full-time benefits, or they provide full benefits, sick leave, hourly wage, and mileage reimbursement. And
that's current, cool.
Yeah, exactly. And right now the wage for your hourly is between $15 and $17.50 plus tips.
Nice.
And this is like a huge, it flies in the face of the abuse that we've allowed to be Grubhub and Uber and Lyft. That was at least one takeaway.
That's where what I use when I order weed.
Yeah. Is Ease.
It's super easy.
Yeah. And they seem like happy. And I've talked to the drivers a couple of times because, you know, when you're, and they seem to really like it. So.
So that was a PSA I did want to put out there. Those are the stats even of 2 years ago from what I found. So it could be more competitive even now as this ramps up. But this was just more of like a, hey, here's a hot tip to anyone out there hating their Grubhub or their Lyft experience. Because as we know with both of those jobs, like if you are sick, you don't work, you just don't make money.
Yeah.
And the fact that this is a company that will give you sick days and benefits.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I'm like, there's someone in my house
question.
Who needs a job.
with food delivery, you can just like leave it outside, right? During the pandemic and be like, just leave it outside. Don't come near me. Don't touch me.
Yeah.
Like, so because marijuana is this like controlled substance, like do you like legally have to like be like,
yeah,
you
they wanted
this from me?
Yeah. I mean, yes, or see them or leave it out and like make sure you see them pick it up.
Yes.
You know, but
Did you feel, I mean, and I know you like get used and you're, they were supplying you even in an early stage with like N95s and better masks, you know, but like, was it, especially during the pandemic, were you like, I feel more at risk because of this interaction?
I had to fight with the boss and be like, I'm not going, because we had one lady who would order from this insane lady who I ended up really liking, but you know, she had like, you know, fake lips, fake tits, like, you know, she was
LA baby.
Yeah. And like, she had like an older sugar daddy who would like, she would use his card all the time. But like, she lived in that, one of the big high rises on Vine. Mm-hmm. And like, I would be like, and this was like at the height of shit. And I'm like, I'm not going. And I would see people come out of the elevator, just idiots, you know, no mask. In the elevator, and I'm like, I'm not going up there. She has to come down and get this, because like we had stated that that was the rule, and she would give all these excuses. She's like, I can't wear a mask because like I had a breast surgery and one of my boobs exploded, and it caused this infection or whatever. And I'm like, you're ordering like you're smoking of like a half a ounce of weed a day, like. Your lungs are fine, you know. She just didn't want to do it, but yeah, I had to fight with them. I'm like, I'm not going up there. Like, I'm watching kids just run in and out of this of like this place that has like hundreds of units in it. But like, that was the only one. Most everybody else, like, it's LA, so it was a lot of delivering to houses. So that was kind of nice to not have to go inside anywhere for work.
Yeah, I was gonna
during
say
the with- height of the pandemic.
What's interesting, and like for anyone who's not familiar, you know, the will you tell us about the container that like, so as you deliver and you take, how did you guys do it? Did you legally in LA, you're supposed to have the weed locked in containers,
oh, like, the Ziploc, like the fancy concealed? Ziploc.
No, but when I've ordered off of Ease, they are required to kind of have like a black lockbox in the trunk and all the product stays in it, like, you know. Like a fucking thriller movie and a briefcase filled with goods.
Oh, yeah. I probably would have gone to jail if I'd gotten pulled over.
Oh, so you were loosey-goosey.
Well, the business was.
The business was loosey-goosey, but it fell on you because they didn't have the protocol. Well, that's really funny just because I was reading. Okay, got it. Sorry, you don't do it anymore. It doesn't matter. But right. So, okay. So in other instances, though, all of the goods, especially you would probably compile what maybe if you could get three orders on a route, you know,
Originally we had like this main office downtown, and like before COVID, I worked there a couple months before COVID. And we would, take the deliveries from there. But then, you know, once COVID hit, like they were like, just keep these boxes in your car and we'll text you the orders and you fill them out. And
got it. Like you had a lot of product and you would be like,
it was a little nerve-wracking at times.
Yes, well, that's something else, you know, like...
Okay, I'm like, is this business even legal?
And, like, how do you, like, every time you open your trunk, keeping a low profile, did you have places that you would go to where you felt covered and, like, you were, you know?
The road behind the 365. And
I know that road. I love that road. Yep. That's a great road. I turn on that road a lot.
Yep. That's where I would chill often.
Well, because, and I'm not saying because like it's perfectly legal, but it's like about not getting fucking robbed and killed for a trunk full of weed. You know?
Or like, even having to explain it to a cop. No, actually, I'm not a fly by night drug dealer. I work for this company. I mean, I know this looks bad, but right. <know.
laughs> I know it looks like I just robbed a fucking weed store. It's not what it looks like, officer.
My boss gave me the name of a lawyer to say if this happened. I've since.
Would it be like?
I think I accidentally deleted that note on the notes app. So just take me to jail.
I mean, would it be like though if you like? There. Like, I work at a KFC or I work at a place that does fried food. Would you come home, like, would you just smell like weed and you, like, couldn't get the weed smell, like, out of your car, out of your clothes? Is that, like, is that a thing?
No, it was in containers.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know, but, you know, sometimes if they grow where you work and you go in, sometimes you just, like,
that's true.
Permeates.
Oh, no, they didn't grow. they didn't grow at the office. They got it all from Humboldt.
Nice.
Emerald County. Humboldt County.
Where there are no laws. Mm-hmm.
No laws up there. Mm-hmm. Up there.
I got no laws up there. I was driving behind a dump truck once that definitely like had, I don't know, a bunch of weed plants or like old plants, but I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like the smell was crazy and it came in through all my vents. And like when it finally turned, I had like opened all my windows and let it air out, but like went to work and like for 2 days that shit smelled.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah, it was fucking nuts. So that's why I just wonder if you were just like, I can't get the goddamn weed smell out of my fucking everything, you know? So
church is awkward now.
It is so awkward now. Okay, so like in the before times and like, you know, before the height of the scariness of COVID, would you deal, I'm sure because, you know, you said everyone's weird, you get to know everyone who becomes a regular eventually.
Oh, we had some great ones. I don't want to say. Absolutely. There's this one lady who would tip like 40% on like to something. I wanted to marry her. She was the fucking best.
I love that.
But like, again, these were always usually the more working class type people. Of course, you know how it is.
People
always.
Who probably do tip earning jobs, you know, and we're always the most generous and we get it. And, So, but I'm always, I think it's funny that a weed delivery person, I'm just imagining the trope of like when you used to just have the fucking drug dealer come over. Like, is there ever an expectation from customers who are like, come on in, Jake, we're going to light up the bong, man.
No, I think that's.
You want to take some of this with me right now? Are you busy? Are you busy right now? You want to.
We're gonna watch a movie. Are you busy? Are you working right now? And it's like, yes, I'm on the clock.
Oh, man. There were a couple people that I kind of wanted to do that with. Just be like, hey, you mind if I just to see what they would do.
You want me to break the fourth wall in this relationship?
Right, yeah.
I mean, I kind of didn't even think about that. This is an amazing point.
Well, that's
us.
Why
like,
you tip
that whole part,
the dealer.
I know. Be like, so I don't have to fucking hang out with you. Here's the money. Go away. Like, I mean, just subtracting that whole transactional awkwardness is fucking incredible. We live in a fucking day and age where there's no awkward interactions. You don't have to like get placed and like be like, I just paid you for this. And now I have to like, are you going to like match me on a bowl or like what's, you know what I mean? Like, oh my God.
Or like our drug dealer fucking fell asleep on the couch again. Like, I don't know how to get him out of here. You know, those.
But it's like, my drug dealer's going through a breakup. This is the worst.
Right?
He brought his guitar with him.
Okay, this is. Did anyone ever tip you with weed instead of money?
Oh, this one insane man. Like, he would. I'd bring him the new weed. He would give me the old bottle of weed with like a nug left in it, and be like, "There's your tip," and I'm like. Don't tip me with weed. I have all the weed.
Yeah, I get all the weed, asshole. That'd be like someone like give like someone like you go out to eat and you order a burger and fries and someone like puts three fries on a plate and they're like, here's your tip. Like, yeah, I have all the fucking fries I need in the kitchen, asshole. Like
the one thing I don't need in my life is access to more weed.
Weed.
That was a great perk of the job. I got a free eighth every 2 weeks. And like that, I don't smoke a ton, so
all your friends are like, yay,
I didn't buy
has
weed for like 2 years.
That's great.
That was nice.
And there's another takeaway is like, yes, we were talking about you have to tip your bud tenders, you have to tip your delivery people, especially your weed delivery people. Weed is not a tip. Weed can be given along with money. If there is money that is part of the transaction, then you can give a loose handful of bud.
You're giving the wrong kind of green, asshole.
Also, like, if you've never tipped me, I don't want cookies that you made. I don't know you.
Yeah.
I don't trust you.
I don't trust you. You're a bad person. You don't tip. You probably, these are poison cookies.
I fucking love this. But like working for a small organic weed company, you probably learn pretty quickly like what you like, what you don't like mm-hmm. the strains that really, so that's got to be a fun part of it. Just all the
education. It was
fun
being like, oh, I'm going to try Gooba Gooba Gaba. I don't know what this is.
I'll put a name out there for you. I had a real bad time on a hash edible last week that I was going to talk about on the podcast, but I didn't. The name should have given away. It was
Garden. No, we talked about it. You talked about it.
I did. Oh, the fact mm-hmm. that I had a bite of a melon gargoyle berry.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Gargoyle melon berry ice water. Hash.
Too many names. Okay.
So, I was just like, yeah, you shouldn't eat this ever. You should never bite into something called a gargoyle melonberry. So
it's not good. But you learn quickly what you do like and when you don't like. And Brooke, you mean you especially like you working like weed adjacent, like you there's just stuff up for grabs at your work too, you know?
Totally.
You're quickly learning what works and what doesn't.
You get reimbursed for the weed. I mean, that was really fun. We shot a bunch of sketches and we had a weed budget. And it was really fun. But I'm not the big consumer, so I didn't like it. Was funny. My coworkers all just, it was like Halloween candy. They were like, how much can I stuff into my fucking pillowcase? They were trying to take all the weed, which was great and adorable. But
I got fucked up a couple weeks ago like an idiot. I think I was like out of weed and I was like, fuck, I just need to like smoke. I was like, oh, I had some birthday pre-roll joints that I haven't opened yet. And like, and so I open it and I spark it. And we were like dog sitting at the time when I went out and walked a dog. And like, I forgot my like name. I was like, how do I get back home with this dog? And then I get back home and I'm like, oh, this was a joint that like the paper was infused with hash or whatever. Yeah. And I didn't know that. And that was a bad night for me.
I'm so sorry.
I told Nadia, I was like, I'm like, I know it's 8:30 PM, but I have to go to bed.
Yeah. That was like the dab of joints basically. Right.
Yeah. I'm kind of a lightweight. For someone who delivered weed that long.
Like, you have to really build up your tolerance and fucking like you have to smoke so much weed to be able to like keep up with shit like that.
Oh yeah. Like I still have friends who do bong hits and I'm like, I don't know how you're doing that anymore. Like
I know one person who does bong hits and he's like, he just does it because he thinks it's a cleaner.
It is.
Like,
he doesn't,
you know, and does the filter obviously.
I get it, but that would be my entire day if I did one bong hit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. To be fair, they as I went to see my GP for my, you know, my regular checkup and we talk about everything. He's like, okay, if you smoke weed, then he went online and he showed me, he's like, if you're smoking weed at all, he's like, really, we as doctors recommend bongs. Bongs, and he showed us like that. Well, they do little mini ones now called
the little bubblers.
Right, so that is bubblers. Yeah,
it's a way smaller dose that you're getting, but then also the packs, which is the vape inhaler, which heats the weed. You don't get any of the chemical in the crystal.
Oh yeah,
those are really nice too, but they're expensive. It's like a $250 pen, but it's the best for your health. Or a water bubbler.
Brian's over here being like, that's what I was going to say.
See, I pay attention at work.
I'm such a soft old man. I'm like, I like edibles now. Like, that's almost exclusively what I'm into. Like, a mild edible is perfect for me.
Just a little Google. Totally. I got these like 2 milligram mints that I even forget that I take. And I'm just like, why am I humming?
You right. I love those little mints.
And again, I've said it so many times on this podcast, even like a 2 milligram mint, I'm just like, hey, what the fuck is going on? You know, that's why I'm just like, I'm just going to eat mushrooms in chocolate form.
There you go.
Like, that's kind of where I'm at. Because it is that one square of my microdosing. I'm like, oh, this is like the body high. This is the high I wanted to achieve with meat edibles. Like that's where it's at for me. But did you ever see in the delivery like game any like crazy shenanigans having it at like crazy rich LA homes?
Oh, you're
like,
talking about mushrooms. I thought you were. Did you ever see like a did you ever, face like, turn into a demon? Or, like...
Yeah, your FaceTime a demon. But no, in the delivery
just, world in general, like you probably people open their doors and there's just a real tableau of insanity like, happening.
Is that a giraffe back there? I'm sure there's some weirdness.
Oh yeah. But a lot of my delivery was during COVID, so no one was letting the trash inside the house.
Like,
you know,
6 feet, asshole.
Yeah, right.
Nobody was like, "Hey, thanks for delivering the weed to the orgy. You should stay for a while."
I've said too much.
The good old days.
I know.
Yeah. Those are the glory days of weed delivery.
A good old fashioned Hollywood Hills fuck party I got invited into.
I bet being a delivery boy out here in the 70s was a lot wilder.
Oh, baby. Yeah.
You're just in cult now.
Yep. Yeah. Here's your tip. We'll show you the light. That's your tip.
Oh, my God.
I like that you went out on weed and you're just like, yep, I did it all. And now I've hung up my delivery. My keys are hung up.
Oh, I hope I never have to do delivery again. It is exhausting. It's exhausting work.
I do think it'd be hilarious if like the dispensary you worked for made you put like a light up light on top of your car, like a pizza delivery place. That would.
So the joint is lit. When yes, I'm
it smokes. Yeah, like there's like a smoke machine on it. That'd be fucking cool.
Have spinners for their pot leaves.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Totally. I mean, or a uniform, even like, or you'd have to say like a catchphrase and be like, thank you, have a super high friendly day. I can't think of a funnier catchphrase.
No, that was great.
But if you're forced to say it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad it's not gone that corporate yet, you know, that
yeah,
you don't have to
too.
Show up looking like a fucking Blockbuster employee. But
I know you said cummerbund earlier in that one story and I had a small panic attack even thinking about wearing a cummerbund.
But if there was a weed delivery service where like everybody had to wear like cummerbunds and bow ties, I would like only deliver from them or order from them for delivery. I'd be like. That's how you would be like, you mean the fucking company with the cummerbund dudes? That's fucking hilarious.
Walk up to my door with white glove service and open a cloche that then has my weed on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I want.
And give me some close-up magic.
Okay. Y'all are asking on. For so much.
I know. And then I don't tip. Goodbye.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Well, I feel like you answered a lot of questions we had about
weed
delivery.
Yeah, you really took us on a journey.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll answer all you got.
You did it. You did it.
Oh, okay, good.
It's the end. We're done now.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah. Yeah, this interview's cashed.
Oh, dude.
I'm going to say that.
Well, I'll pack another bowl if you need it.
Perfect.
For part two?
Like if we forgot to ask you anything, we'll get back to you when you're nice and blazed. But James, thanks as always for being our friend, for coming on the podcast.
I know.
I'm ready to come out. I'm ready to come out from the hiding, you know?
Yeah.
We got to do a redo. We got to do a redo. We got to do. So.
It was kind of going down. Yesterday I was like, only 20,000 people. And then today I was like, 30,000 people. I don't know. But at least it's not 47 like it was for a while. So.
Well, don't worry. We're all getting 4 tests.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Everything's gonna be fine.
It's totally true. You better stretch those tests out, guys.
Use half a test if you can.
I'm paying my rent with the tests in February.
I mean, there's 3 of us that live here, so we each get one, and then we were saying we have to all fight Indiana for the 4th one.
Oh, God. He's going to eat all the tests, isn't he? Mm-hmm.
He probably will eat all the tests. He's all like, wah, wah.
I miss that little cherub.
Oh, you guys. Well, thank you so much. Please send those services, submitted stories our way at sideworkpod@gmail.com. James, one more time, thank you so much for being a guest. And Brooke, you know what we say at the end of every episode.
Godspeed. Godspeed.
Get good tips. And give tips to your weed guy.
Godspeed. Weed delivery. Tip your weed guy.
Godspeed, good weed.
Oh, also even better. Godspeed, good rips. You know what I'm
Godspeed,
saying?
Godspeed, good weed. That can be the catchphrase. All right. All right. Bye. Thank you.